Now, tell me about your father.
City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Earlier this week, Transport Minister Simeon Brown and Auckland Mayor Wayne Brown announced that many of Auckland Transport's core responsibilities would be picked up by Auckland Council and local boards under a new Auckland Regional Transport Committee. Under the reforms, which will require legislative changes over the next 12 months, Auckland councillors will be responsible for approving the Regional Land Transport Plan and the Regional Public Transport Plan. Additionally, last month, the central government announced that councils would have to charge more money for buses, ferries and trains to increase the private share of public transport operating expenditure. While this could see some fares in other regions, such as Wellington, increase by up to 70%, Auckland Transport's Director of Public Transport and Active Modes, Stacey van der Putten, said the proposed target set for them by the NZTA was 30% for the current year, 34% for 2025 to 26, and 42% the year after that. Furthermore, last week, a report from City Rail Link Limited revealed a lack of confidence in the project's builders, the Link Alliance, saying that there was a 50% chance the delivery date for the project of November 2025 will be achieved, raising concerns about whether there will be further delays to the $5.5 billion project. I spoke to Councillor Julie Ferry about all of these topics, asking her firstly about the changes to Auckland Transport's responsibilities. Auckland Transport is set to be legislatively gutted, with many of the core responsibilities of the agency to be picked up by Auckland Council and local boards, fulfilling a pledge made by Mayor Wayne Brown. Would you be able to firstly explain what some of the major changes are to Auckland Transport?
So the proposal from central government, which will need to go through legislation, is basically that Auckland Transport, rather than deciding all the sort of the policies and the plans with input from the council, they will actually now be focused on delivery only. So the actual doing, as opposed to the deciding and the planning and the looking ahead and going, okay, well, this is, you know, this is where the city needs to be in 10, 15, 20, 30 years' time. That work will sit more with the council, which is what actually a lot of us have been pushing for, including the mayor, for a long time. So that's some good news. Exactly how that's going to play out in terms of how much AT deliver directly themselves, whether they just do public transport or they do roading and enforcement and other bits and pieces as well, we'll have to wait and see. And exactly how local boards fit in that is going to be really key too.
Transport Minister Simeon Brown said that with Auckland Transport's responsibilities shifting to the council, the public would now be able to vote against decisions it disapproved of. What impact do you think public consultation and involvement will have?
Well, I think that's a really interesting way of looking at it because, I've worked on a number of projects where there's been huge public support for them and it's been AT that's actually got in the way and sometimes a couple of politicians, but actually not the ones that represent the local area or not the majority in the local area. So, for example, the Great North Road project, which is about to start construction in Arch Hill, Greylin, that had support from over 50 local organisations, all the local schools, business associations, the local board, and it was stalled repeatedly over the last few years by Auckland Transport and by a couple of politicians having second thoughts about it and not liking it, primarily because of the cycling part of it, which was actually only a very small part of the overall project, which is going to do some stormwater improvements, lots more tree planting and generally make the road a lot safer, deal with the car transporter issues that have been going on for years. So I think the Minister might want to be a little bit careful what he wishes for there, because some local boards and communities have been pushing for more of the kind of stuff that he doesn't want to fund, more raised crossings outside schools, lower speed limits on residential streets, and more investment in footpaths and cycling infrastructure. So be interesting to see how that plays out.
Last month, the New Zealand Transport Agency released a discussion document about increasing public share of public transport operating expenditure, which basically means that councils would have to charge more money for buses, ferries and trains so that they can give more money back to the government. What is the potential impact of a surge in public transport pricing, do you think?
Well, it's very frustrating that in a cost of living crisis, we've potentially got central government putting up one of the cheapest ways to get around for a lot of people who can't afford to own a car, can't afford to live close to where they work or study. So, I mean, that will result potentially in less use of public transport, and it will just mean that people have less ability to participate, whether that be in work, study, visiting friends, going to the shops, whatever. It's really counterproductive, and we've already seen Auckland Transport's got some fare increases coming in next year, which they didn't consult on, which we weren't very happy about at the last Transport Resilience and Infrastructure Committee meeting. We're meeting again today, so it'll be interesting to see if they have a response on whether they're actually doing a comprehensive fare review that does include discussions with the broader community and indeed with the council, which is what I asked for last time. But one of the key problems we have in that space is that the lowest hanging fruit there for Auckland Council to potentially make up some of that kind of money in public transport revenue would be to look at the gold card subsidy, which currently we're one of the only regions that funds the evening peak for that. We don't fund the morning peak, so that's why if you use your gold card, you have to pay before, I think it's 9 o'clock, might be 10. But at the moment in Auckland, you don't have to pay for the rest of the day if you use your gold card, whereas in many other cities, you do have to pay from like about 3, 4 o'clock for that evening peak. So that would probably be one of the first things I imagine that Auckland Transport would look at, because that's a big expense.
What was the reason for this price hike?
It seems to be about basically shifting central government priorities, which are now more towards road building and sort of, I guess, individual transport as opposed to the collective transport that public transport represents. But it's not all entirely clear yet, because they were working, the previous government and this government continued to work on a new way of doing this stuff called the Public Transport Operating Model, or PTOM. And so my understanding was that that work was continuing roughly in the same direction as it had been. So I'm not quite clear yet how these things are going to fit together and how that might play out for bus users like myself.
Mm.
In theories, sorry.
Sorry.
not trying to erase our other public transport means.
Mm. And last week, a report from City Rail Link Limited revealed a lack of confidence in City Rail Link's builders, the Link Alliance, saying there was a 50% chance the delivery date for the project of November 2025 will be achieved. The report's inadvertent release has raised fresh concerns over whether there will be another delay to the $5.5 billion project. Are you confident that the City Rail Link will be delivered and operating on the dates it has been projected to?
I'm actually reasonably confident, because this is the time in any project like this that you do have a lot of risks, where if systems integration and stuff like that goes wrong, then it can push things back. And so this is just a risky phase of the project, and everybody knew that. And at this stage, it does look like they are probably still going to be on track. I actually went on a tour at Mangafo Station last night with the community liaison group there. It was the last community liaison group get together of the year, and we went through the station and stuff, and the Link Alliance people there were very strongly, actually this is going to be our last Christmas get together for this group, because next Christmas we won't be here. So that's sort of the level of confidence that they had, was telling the locals who live and work around Uptown in that area who've been impacted directly by the construction, And a lot of those people were like, wow, this is looking so great and it's going to be transformational for the city, and they can't wait. They can't wait because they can't wait for the noise and the vibration to stop, but they also can't wait because they can see what's coming is going to be amazing.
Is council concerned about any possible delays to this project?
One of the interesting things about how this has happened is I see there's some of the reporting as, you know, concerns at the highest level, but it actually went to the Audit and Risk Committee, which is an important committee. I used to sit on it. It has a number of independent people who oversee the audit and risk processes. But it hasn't actually come, you know, hasn't come to the governing body. It hasn't come to the, you know, to the actual highest levels. It's come to a committee that specifically oversees risk. And so that's where you would expect it to sit. But if there were much bigger serious concerns, you would expect it to also be coming to other parts of the council organisation. And I note that the senior staff, who like Barry Potter, Patrick Brocky, who's the head of CRL Limited, you know, they have put those the media comments in context and sort of said, yes, this is the time when things, if things go wrong, it can affect the completion date. But actually that's normal with a project of this size and scale. And actually they still have a lot of confidence that it's going to be up and running and people will be catching trains through those tunnels in 2026.
That was Councillor Julie Ferry speaking to me about changes to Auckland Transport's responsibilities, bus and train fare hikes, and concerns over the opening of the City Rail Link.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95BFM.
We'll be right back after this short break. Text in your thoughts on 5395 and keep it on the B.